Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
I'm a full believer that relationships will have challenges, but they shouldn't be a continuous uphill battle. You can't be happy when you're worn out all the time. If you're feeling like you're in a very much one-sided relationship, listen to my podcast, Love and Abuse, over at loveandabuse.com. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now.
Hello, this is Paul Coliani, and I want to help you increase your emotional intelligence, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and give you the tools to show up as your authentic self. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. I am so glad you are here. I'm going to get right into the first topic. It has to do with a relationship. When you're in a relationship, and you have an attraction toward another life. That could be another person or another lifestyle you could have with that person. And what do you do about that? Because you've established a relationship with someone and now this other life or lifestyle comes into mind and you think, wow, I could have that. Instead, I should be doing that. That's what I want to do. That's what I've always wanted to do. Maybe that'll be your thought. I remember having many of my relationships, having thoughts of being with somebody else. I don't have those thoughts anymore. I'm quite happy and settled. But having thoughts of being with somebody else in my other relationships. I never betrayed a person that I was with. I never cheated in my relationship. But the thoughts came to mind. And the thoughts also came to mind of just not being in the relationship I was in because not everything was the way I wanted it. So this happens in life. We all go through this because when we meet another person and we share our life with another person, they're going to have different values and different thoughts and different opinions. And because of that, there might be disagreements or there might be a different perspective on what's good and bad and what's fun and what's not fun. Like my girlfriend, my current girlfriend, and hopefully my last girlfriend, the person I bought a house with. it's like we have a different sense of humor. So what I might find funny, she'll give me a blank stare. And she'll say, that's not funny.
she's honest about it. She does not hold back. And I'll say, well, it's funny in my head. It's funny when I think about it. And I thought it would be funny. And I think that other people that I would say this to would find it funny. And she would say something like, no, they wouldn't. That's just not funny. It's just not funny. I know what funny is. That's not funny. And sometimes, I mean, that's funny to me just reciting the story. Sometimes she does say it's funny. And sometimes she laughs, which is nice. Sometimes she laughs her head off, which is an exaggeration. But you know what I mean? Sometimes she laughs. And it's all good and fun. And those are the moments that are really special to me. Because my life has been... it's been up and down. Everyone's life has been up and down. But my life has been full of humor. I love humor. I love watching satire. Not so much TV sitcoms. I used to, but not anymore. But I just love humor. Maybe improv, maybe stand-up. And I love how comedians and people like them will find different perspectives in life. It makes you think outside the box. Like, I never thought of it that way. That's an interesting way to think about things. That's a new perspective. I appreciate this new perspective. And so I also used humor as my coping mechanism. I don't know if you've ever done that, but in my life, humor was a big coping mechanism. And I thank my mom for that. Not that it's necessarily a healthy one, but it is, well, it can be healthy. Using humor as a coping mechanism can definitely be healthy. It's just not something that you should do all the time, especially if it puts you into a state of denial. You don't want to laugh at something and then, you know, stuff down your anger about it or your upset, and then just move on. Yeah, that's not safe. Health. It's not emotionally healthy. It's not mentally healthy. So we want to make sure that we don't always use humor as a coping mechanism, so that we can actually address and deal with the negativity that we don't want to repress. So if you get angry, you don't want to laugh it off and keep that anger down. You actually might want to address it, and maybe not in the moment, but certainly soon. Because what I've learned is that the emotions that you repress, they stay down there for a long time, if not indefinitely, if you don't deal with them. And then because they stay down there, they compound. They exponentially multiply. It's an emotional virus, if I may use that. It might not be a great term, but it could be seen as that. It multiplies. And what happens is it affects your entire decision-making process. It causes you to make decisions based on this negativity inside of you. It's a fear-based decision-making process. So you're repressing all these negative emotions, and every decision that you make and every action that you take has a foundation of that negativity. And when that happens, that is self-sabotage. That is what creates problems in your life, because you're making decisions based on fear instead of what you really want. And if you make decisions based on fear, you typically get what you don't want. I hope that makes sense, because I'm speaking from experience. I've done this most of my life. I made decisions based on fear. I'm afraid of what will happen, so I'll make this decision instead. That was my philosophy. I'm afraid of what they will say to me, or if they'll leave me or fire me. So I will do this or say this instead. Of course, you're going to continue to get what you don't want. If your boss, for example, comes out and yells at you in front of the entire team, depending on what you do and where you work, but just pretend this scenario is happening, and now you feel embarrassed and you're shy, and you know, let's just say that this happened, you feel embarrassed, you're shy, and wow, you don't know what to do with this. And so you cower in your cubicle or wherever, and the boss goes back, and what do you do? I mean, what do you do with that negativity that you feel? Do you have anger Do you feel, I don't know, shame, guilt? Do you feel anger? Again, I would be angry. That's why I mentioned it twice. I would be angry. I would want to go in there and say, you son of a, you can't do that. Don't publicly humiliate me. That's what I would want to do. But 20 years ago, I wouldn't have done that. I would have said, I don't know. I guess I better shape up or ship out. The boss is always right. Today, I would walk in their office and say, if you ever do that again, I'm quitting. I may not say those words, but I would say, hey, what you just did was very disrespectful. And I don't want that to happen again. I want you to know that that was very disrespectful. And see what they say. In fact, those might be the exact words, or at least close to it. What you just did out there was very disrespectful. And if they say, well, I was mad and I wanted to let you know, I would say that it was embarrassing and you publicly humiliated me and I expect more from you. I mean, I would kind of act like an authority. I expect more from you. I have come to respect you, if that was the case. Because if I'm still there working, I probably do have some respect for the authority there. I have come to respect you, and I have come to expect more. So when you did that, it's very disrespectful, and I don't appreciate it. So I might not say, don't do that again. I just want to find out if they'll say that. I would want to find that. I would want to find out if they'll say, you're right, I shouldn't have done that, and I'm sorry. That would be a utopian outcome, and it would be fantastic. Will it happen? Maybe. It could. But my highest priority, or at least one of my highest priorities, is my integrity. It's being treated with respect and just being nice. You don't have to treat me like crap. You can treat me nicely. And so when that is violated, and especially being publicly called out, I'm going to get upset and I'm going to say something. But 20 years ago, like I said, I probably wouldn't have. So all of that negativity that I had held on to kept compounding inside of me. Just stuff it down, stuff it down, stuff it down. Over and over again, every single event that made me upset, just stuff it all down. And yes, it multiplied like a virus. And it comes out in destructive ways. In areas of your life that you don't want it to. Typically with people you love. Typically around people you love. If you don't want this stuff to come out and you don't want to ruin relationships, you got to deal with it. You got to go inside and ask yourself, what's in there? Do I still have anger toward this person? Do I still have animosity toward someone? Do I have some unresolved conflict, unresolved trauma with certain people in my life? Because anything that's not resolved from your past comes out in your present and in your future. If you don't resolve it, you're carrying it. If you're carrying it, it comes out with the people that you typically care about most. Why them? Why does this stuff come out with these people, the people that we care about most and the ones that we're supposed to treat the best and feel supported by, and we support them? We're supposed to be in a solid, supportive, loving, caring, generous, and everything kind of relationship. And why would be hurtful to them? Why would we want any of this stuff to come out with them? What ends up happening, the reason this stuff comes out, at least my take on this, my perspective on this, is that when we are with someone that we love, we are typically more vulnerable. We are typically, I don't want to say thin-skinned, but our guard is down. Your loved ones have the capability to get to the deepest parts of you because you have been the most vulnerable with them. The more you love someone, typically, the more vulnerable you are. The more vulnerable you are, the less emotional armor you have on. The less emotional armor you have on, the more someone can reach in, grab your heart, and crush it. And because our loved ones are so close to that emotional vulnerability, the best of us comes out and the worst of us comes out. So that's my perspective, is that we usually treat the people we love most, the people we're closest to, badly sometimes, or more often than sometimes. And we don't do this to other people in our life. We don't do it to our best friend. We don't do it to the coworkers. We don't do it to anybody else. We do it to the closest people in our lives. And we act the worst when we are acting that way. We act the worst around the people that are closest to us because we feel the most vulnerable. And they see through us. They can see that we are feeling a certain way or thinking a certain thing, or at least it feels that way. We know that we are pretty transparent around them, or more transparent with them than anyone else, which can be frightening. If that person can see inside of me, then they're reading me probably in ways that I don't want them to. Well, you can see my embarrassment? I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to be mad at you. You can see my shame. I definitely don't want that to happen. So I'm going to redirect your attention and make you focus on yourself and make you defend yourself, because I'm going to put you down in some way. Maybe I'm going to make you feel shame so that you don't see mine. This is what we can do when we are walking around as unhealed people. And, you know, when you don't address the old trauma and the old neglect and all the stuff that may have developed when you were growing up during your upbringing, what that does is it continues to fester inside of you. And as it does, we take the old stuff and bring it into the present. And if you need to heal something or deal with something, resolve it or release it, if you don't do it, then it can come out in your relationships. It will come out in your relationships. People say, you know, they're our mirror. You know, if we have a partner, they're our mirror. They reflect what we need to work on. That's very true, because they're triggering us. It may not be a mirror, but I see it as the person in our life, because we feel the most vulnerable with them. We're going to show them more of us. And the more we show of them and the more we're around them and they're around us, the more they're going to see. And sometimes they're going to see so much more that it makes us uncomfortable. And when we're uncomfortable, some people don't like that. I prefer to be uncomfortable sometimes, because that helps me heal. That helps me connect with the things that I haven't resolved inside of me. I'm not saying I like it, but I am saying I prefer it to come up. Meaning, if my girlfriend notices something about me and she says, "Whoa, you're dealing with something right now. What's going on?" I might have an immediate denial. There's nothing wrong. And then I'll think, okay, she sees something. That's the perfect opportunity for me to look inside and figure out if that's something I need to work on. And so all of this negativity that we deal with, unhealed trauma, unhealed neglect, unhealed lack of love, which is also neglect, lack of attention, which is also neglect, lack of feeling like you're part of a family, lack of feeling like you don't have a dad or a mom, all of this can build up inside of you and turn into hurtful behavior later, if not just hurting you, hurting others. This is why I came up with the podcast Love and Abuse. Everything I just talked about can turn into emotionally abusive behavior. You can be hurtful to someone else because you feel hurt inside. I know, hurt people hurt people. We all know that term, but that's the breakdown of that, what I just said. And I don't know if I did a very good job explaining it, but I think you understand how it can evolve or devolve, depending on how you look at it, into what creates difficulties in relationships. And this is important as we at least move on in this episode, but move on in life, because everything you don't deal with becomes part of your decision-making process in the future. If you don't deal with the feeling that you've never had enough love from mom or dad, that is going to show up as a fear of abandonment, a fear of rejection, a fear of being alone. All of this stuff springs up in our life, and we wonder why certain things don't work out. We wonder why we're not as happy as we could be. And it is really inside of us. We do need to look at that and resolve it. And of course, I've been doing this for a long time. You can look up episodes at theoverwhelmedbrain.com where I talk about all this stuff. And I'm not saying I'm the only source for this. There's a wealth of information out there on everything I'm talking about today. But it is important. It is important to look inward and ask yourself, why do I keep having the results I have? What is causing that? Is it my decision making? Am I making the wrong decisions because I haven't dealt with this stuff in my past that is creeping up into my present? If I haven't dealt with this stuff and I make decisions based on fear, then yes, very likely you're going to deal with self-sabotage. Because every decision you make based on fear brings more experiences that you don't want. We don't want that. We don't want more experiences that we don't want. But we do this to ourselves, or at least let me speak for myself. I've done this for myself for many, many years. Every time I was making fear-based decisions, it brought more of what I didn't want. One fear-based decision might be, I don't want to tell my girlfriend that because she might get angry and leave me. Okay, so there's a fear-based decision, something I would have done 15 years ago. I definitely don't want to say that to her. I don't want to tell her that. That might make her mad. So I'm going to hold that in. I'm going to stuff that down and never bring it up again. But again, it festers. It's down there and it's seeping in to my brain. It's seeping into my philosophy of life. It's seeping into how I make decisions and why I make decisions. All right, so now it's a year later or whatever, and I have this repressed feeling inside of me, and I haven't addressed it, so I have small fears that I haven't dealt with yet, fear of abandonment, fear of loneliness, fear of rejection, fear of whatever, all kinds of fears, and now I'm in a place where we are being close, intimate, honest with each other, and it feels really good, and then that fear kicks in like, oh boy, I never told her about that thing. So what I'm going to do is compound on top of what I never told her with another deception or a lie. You know, maybe it wasn't a lie. Maybe it was withholding information. But, you know, a lot of people see that as a lie. I could debate that either way. But you withhold information and now you withhold information again. Or you do blatantly lie. Or using me as an example, I blatantly lied the next time because I didn't want to tell her this other thing last time, so now I'm compounding the emotional or the negative emotions inside of me. Because I'm going to lie about something, it's not going to feel very good, and then I'm going to wonder if she's ever going to find out, so I'm going to put that on top of everything I feel. And so this fear of getting caught, this fear of being abandoned, this fear of being alone and single and all these fears keep compounding over and over again. And it's like you've heard, you know, if you lie once, you lie again and you lie again. You have to remember all the lies that you told. If you don't remember all the lies you told, you're eventually, you know, it's going to break up like a Ponzi scheme. Eventually somebody's going to figure it out. And everything that you did is going to unravel and make a huge mess. This is what happens. This is why it's important to be as transparent as you can with the right people that you feel safe with. And if you don't have people in your life that you can feel safe with, that's another issue. That's another thing you can look for on my website or whatever. But I'm sharing all this because I'm going to talk about a couple relationships today. And some of this will apply and some of it won't. Well, I guess all of it applies. I mean, when you are more vulnerable with people that you love and you care about, it is usually better to be honest about as much as you can, at least how you feel. And this first email that I'm going to read to you when we come back might have to do with being more honest with the person that she's with, but maybe not in ways that she is thinking I'm going to tell her. So when we come back, I'm going to get into that and we'll see where we go with it We'll be right back right after this. All right, I have decided to actually start being more physically healthy. I was very lazy. I was very lazy for a long time. Is that fair? I don't know. I don't know if it's fair to say I was lazy, but I worked my butt off. I have a home office, and I'm in here a lot. I take breaks. Yes, I do. But I don't take breaks to get physically active. So I decided that ever since I started taking my AG1 from Athletic Greens, that I was going to work on my health, my physical health, because here I am filling my body with some really good stuff, my daily greens, and I'm not following it up with any type of physical activity. So this is going to sound strange, but I went out and got a VR headset, and I put my headset on, and I just swipe at things and move and punch, and now I'm active. I tell you what, this is kind of a side thing, but if you want to stay active, get a VR headset because you will continually move. That is totally up to you, but I just wanted to share something personal that has made me active again. And I'm doing this, really, the whole thing started when I started taking my AG1. I realized I want to get in shape. I want to feel better inside and out, and I definitely want my blood to be flowing. I've been on it for a couple months now almost, and I feel great almost every day. I look forward to waking up, filling my shaker bottle with AG1, and I love that I don't have to buy all these supplements separately. Athletic Greens gives me exactly what I need. So I'm telling you this because maybe now is a good time for you to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/brain. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/brain. Take ownership of your health. Pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. I know I'm all about it now, and I'm getting my blood pumping and making sure I continue to supplement myself with something that I know works. I have already seen many benefits, and I know you're going to as well. athleticgreens.com/brain. All right, let's get into the first relationship question we have today. Person wrote, thank you for taking the time and energy you put into your podcast. I was recently connected to a high school boyfriend after many years. When he told me he was in town, I jumped on the opportunity to see him. I must mention I am married, and to this point, I had considered my marriage healthy. I saw no risk in an innocent lunch, but I quickly began obsessing over him and his free-spirited lifestyle. I began comparing my life and relationship to him. An unfair comparison given that my husband and I have children, and after a few months, I chose to stop communication with my ex-boyfriend. While I know it was the right thing to do, I still think about him all the time. Talking to him reminds me of the young, free-spirited person that I used to be, and the emotional connection felt magical. I miss him, and my heart and my mind are always at battle over this. Please help. All right, so thank you for sharing that. You are probably getting a lot of people that say, I can relate to that. I can relate to that, absolutely. I know I could relate to that many, many times over my life. Well, I make it sound worse than it was. Not many, many times, but I know I can relate to it at least a few times in my life. But what you're talking about here, so let me just start by saying this, or at least asking you this question. Have you ever watched True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis? If you haven't watched it, I highly recommend you do, because what you're describing is pretty much very similar to what Jamie Lee Curtis's character in that movie went through. And just a quick explanation, I won't give it away. Jamie Lee Curtis is not necessarily excited about her marriage, and she finds this other guy that is living this, I don't know, double lifestyle, and she just finds it exciting. So she starts seeing him more and more, but you can watch the rest of the movie. But it's the same idea. It's the same idea for me. That movie is very similar to maybe the way you feel now. Like, you want more than what you have now. You've made commitments that perhaps are weighing you down. I'm not saying that you regret these, and maybe you don't think you regret them, but you think about your youth and how it used to be. So I get that. You know, I think about how free I used to feel when I didn't have a house payment. I think about how wonderful it was to maybe live with my family in New Hampshire, where I think about how wonderful it was to be young and free and just doing anything I want anytime. That's all nice, but, you know, I have learned that as you grow, you have responsibilities, you got to take care of those. And then if you have kids, that's more responsibilities. And then they feel like obligations, you know, your kids, your marriage, your job. It definitely can wear you down. And if you have no balance in your life, it's going to feel worse. And it's going to stand out. This sort of reminds me of another story of a book I read where the boss of a big company, he used to say, send him to the beach. I think this was the president of Atari, actually. This company bought Atari, and the president of Atari, I think at the time, was Nolan Bushnell. And the new president said the old president could hang around. And if I'm getting the facts wrong, I'm sorry, but it's pretty close. And he's saying, okay, Nolan Bushnell can, you know, still hang around the company and do his part and do his job. But Nolan had a lot of ideas. You know, he created the company. He has lots of ideas. And he was continuously bothering the new president and just giving all these ideas when the new president wanted to take the company in a slightly different direction. And so it was just constantly having to deal with Nolan's ideas. And so the new president said, let's just send him to the beach. That sounds ominous, but really what he was saying is, let's give him a robust severance package and let him leave the company. So that means multi-million-dollar severance package, and now you can go away. Go play at the beach. You know, take time off, retire, pretty much. And so that's what he said. He goes, just send him to the beach. And so that's what he did. Nolan said, all right, this is great. I'm going to retire and no problem. So he went to the beach. Well, I don't know if he literally went to the beach, but he retired and he just did anything he wanted. He had the money, he had the time, anything he wanted. He said it felt great. And then after a few months, he got bored. There was no challenge in life. The work was gone, so he couldn't come in every day with new ideas and new thoughts. He wasn't using his brain. He was just relaxing and enjoying free time. But everything has a limit. And the free time and the money, all of this was great, but there's only so much time you can spend at the beach. And that's what he found out. And what he decided to do was start another company. And this gave him purpose. This gave him meaning. This gave him challenges in life again. It allowed him to use his brain. And he just felt better. He didn't want to be retired. And he thought he did. So this is, in a way, similar. And I'm not saying this would happen to you. I mean, maybe if you decided to divorce your husband and go off with this guy, I definitely don't recommend that, and I'm not saying you should, but let's just say that you went through that scenario in your mind. You might think, wow, this is going to be great. It's free. It feels good. And then you're going to have these realizations. These realizations will kick in, and you'll think, gee, you know, I miss a lot of this stuff that I used to have in my life. And the stuff that I used to think was so mundane or so repetitive or so many obligations, so much pressure and stress. You might have those thoughts. I'm not saying you will, but you might. And so there's a dichotomy that can go on inside of you where I maybe want to go this way, but what will I miss if I do that? It sounds great to go in that direction, but maybe there will be things that I miss, or maybe I'm not being appreciative enough, and I'm not saying you aren't, but maybe I should think about what I have now and maybe what I'm taking advantage of or just not seeing clearly enough. And again, you may not be thinking like this at all, but I'm just saying what could happen. That could happen. And in fact, I want you to do this exercise. I want you to imagine doing that. Divorce your husband and whatever you're going to do with your kids, I don't know. But do your thing. Pretend in your mind that you're going to go off and live this lifestyle with this person. Maybe you'll say, oh my God, that sounds great. Or maybe you'll say, I don't want to do that. That's not what I'm asking you. But I want you to imagine it anyway. Just imagine it. Imagine the very first day that you're together. What's that like? Where are you? What are you doing? Now imagine the second day. Imagine the second week. Imagine the second month. Where are you living? Are you living together? Are you doing everything you want to do? How's your body holding up after all these years, you know, being older? What's it like? Are you still partying? I don't know if you partied, but if you're still partying, what's that like? You know, think about all this stuff that you did in your youth, or at least when you were younger. Is it all the same? Is it going to work out? Is it going to feel great? Let's just say you went a year with this person. What's it like then? So what I'm doing is giving you this visualization so that you can really play out the scenario. I mean, go through it. Because what you're maybe stuck on is the novelty of it all, the newness, or at least the oldness coming back, and you have these great feelings about what you had. And so those great feelings aren't tainted over the years because you're thinking about what it was like then. But many years have passed. What will it be like if I do that again? And I'm asking you to visualize this so that you won't have such a fantasy painted that you will constantly obsess about it. And, you know, I could be telling you to do this and maybe you see it as a wonderful thing. I don't know. Maybe you see it as, yeah, if I did that, life would be amazing. I would be happy. If that's the case, then you have some serious discussions coming up. But I'm not even going to guide you in that direction. I just want you to visualize this, go through the process, think about it the first day, the first week, the first month, the first year, and maybe even longer. Maybe you have kids with this person. Maybe you don't end up with this person. You just end up with the lifestyle. Whatever it is, just allow your brain to go there. And don't fault yourself. Don't tell yourself, oh my God, I'm cheating on my husband. Don't do that at all. This is a visualization that's in your mind. And what I'm doing is helping you, or at least I'm trying, to help you achieve some sort of understanding of a decision that if you make it, what would it be like? Because we can come up with some grandiose ideas of what we'll feel like and what we'll be like if we do a certain thing or if we had a different life, you know, and we have all these big pictures that we paint that look so wonderful, and sometimes they aren't what we think they'll be. Like, I think of a great time that I had with a partner a long time ago, and how would that be now? I think, wow, it might be fantastic, you know, if I didn't have a girlfriend and I was looking up old relationships. But then I think about who I used to be and who I am now and how I believe I've matured and how I believe I think differently now, and I'm just a different person. And wouldn't it be weird if they were the same person they were, just like you're describing here, but I'm this different person and our ideals were different. Our values were different. Things that offend me, they support. That would be weird. That would be really strange. So I might actually put that into my visualization. Oh, you know, one of you is Democrat, one of you is Republican. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Well, you know, put that in there. What would happen then? Oh, we won't talk politics. Okay, take politics out. It doesn't matter. I just want you to go through the visualization and just understand the perspective there. So that's part one of my answer to you. That's not the solution. It might be, but I don't think it's the solution. I think the solution is what I was starting to talk about, and it's going to be hard because you're in the obsessive state. I talk about obsession in a lot of episodes of theoverwhelmedbrain.com. Look up the word obsess. Go to the website and use the search field and listen to those episodes. But before you do that, what I started talking about was balance. Balance in a relationship or in your life in general is when you are doing X for a certain number of hours a day and you never do Y or Z, if that makes sense. You never take X off the table for 10 minutes even because you're always doing whatever X is. I'm always taking care of the kids and cleaning the house and doing the laundry or going to work or driving my car because I commute 2 hours a day back and forth. Whatever X is, what this does is the majority of your day is taken up with responsibilities and obligations, and you got to do this and you got to do that. And you feel it. And of course, when somebody comes along and says, "Hey, dude, I'm having a great life. I feel free. I'm doing whatever I want." You look at that person and you think, "Oh my God, I want that. And look, that's the person I used to date. We could be together now. That could be my life." But it looks so appealing when you don't have balance in your own life. When your life is full of responsibility and obligation and all these things that you just can't get out of, it's going to look like greener grass on the other side. It's going to look so alluring. I want that. So you have to remember that your perspective is from a place way over here so that when you see this person who's way over there, it looks more appealing. Again, that's not the solution, but I'm trying to give you some perspectives here that this is why we can become obsessive, because it looks so darn good on paper. But in reality, would it be? Maybe yes. You know, I can't say that it might not be. Some people do this. Some people give up everything and do their thing. And I do not recommend that. I don't recommend leaving what you have when you have a family that has been working for you, and a husband that's been working for you, and, you know, working out in a good relationship. You can have these desires that come and go, and this may come and go. Like, you did the right thing. You said, "I'm not going to communicate with this person anymore because I can't stop thinking about him." But now I can't stop thinking about him. So what do you do now? So again, listen to those episodes on obsession. Think about what I've said today, and I'm still not done, but just consider everything that I'm saying right now. And the next part of this, and hopefully will be part of the solution, is all the obligations and responsibilities that you have, you must make time to reconnect with your younger self. You must do it. You have to do it. If you used to go to the park and have a picnic, and you have no time for that now, you have to make time. Even if it's just for an hour, you have to make time. And I know people are listening to this now saying, I really don't have that time. I have to work all the time. And then when I'm not working, I'm taking care of other things. Then what you do is find ways to connect with that part of you that did that. And what that means is if you have to have a picnic on your front lawn, or if you're in an apartment on your balcony or in the courtyard, whatever you need to do, even if it's just a few minutes from home, you need to get out of the unbalanced situation that you're in so that you can reconnect with the part of you that wants to feel like the person you used to be. You need to reconnect with that. And my girlfriend looks at me all the time and says, "I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you have time to just stop what you're doing and play your guitar, play some games, read, go outside. I don't know how you do it. You work all the time and you still get things done, but you also take breaks. And I said, I can't do it without taking breaks. I can't do it. Where she will sit at her desk and she'll have to pee. 6 hours later, she finally realizes she has to pee. So she has to get up and do it. But I have to kind of coax her sometime. Leave your desk. And she says, I want to, but I got to finish this. I got to finish this. I got to finish this. That's all she says. And so I hopefully lead by example. I'm not going to force her to do anything she doesn't want to or isn't ready to do. But all I do is continue when I feel like it's been too long. I need to get up and chill. I just need to step back and step away. And I would do this if I worked in a corporate environment. I would do this no matter what. I would need to take breaks. I'm not a cigarette smoker, but the cigarette smokers get breaks. They go outside and then they smoke. I would want to take as many breaks as they do. And that's what I would do. At least when I feel like I need that break. Because this is what we don't do for ourselves enough. Oh, I need a break, but I got to finish this, but I need a break. So I started practicing this many, many years ago, taking breaks when I knew I couldn't afford the time or even the money to take the break. I started practicing. I just had to leave. I had to do something enjoyable. Even if it was sitting in the break room, closing my eyes and either meditating or falling asleep for 5 minutes. I mean, literally 5 minutes. I took that break. And I tell you what, my life changed. My life completely changed because it offered me the reset that I never gave myself. It felt like a reset. It felt like I was unplugging and then plugging back in. So the unplugging part was me clearing the toxicity that had built up. It's like opening the valve and letting it go. Because if you're constantly exposed to an obligation or a responsibility and it's nonstop and you never give yourself a break, this is what happens. You see the greener grass on the other side and you want it. And you're almost willing to go for it. That's how strong this feeling could be. Just like this person's saying, it's like, I'm obsessed. I keep thinking about this person and their lifestyle and I want that too. This is why you have to start adding it, even in 30-second increments. You know, stare at a candle. You know, one of the best things I've done, or at least I do sometimes, is I leave home. You know, I work at home, a home office, but I'm here all the time. And so my environment never changes. But when I leave home and bring my laptop and I go sit in a coffee shop or whatever, I suddenly get a lot of work done and I'm suddenly motivated. Why didn't I feel this motivation at home? Because I changed my environment. I changed what was around me. Some people might say there's an energy in your office, there's a feng shui in your house, and whatever it is, I don't know. But when I leave the environment that I'm in and I go into an environment, maybe it's with other people, maybe it's with strangers, there's a feeling of less or maybe no obligation. There's a feeling of freedom. I feel free when I'm away from the house. And I do not feel like a prisoner when I'm in my house, but I feel free, or at least freer, when I'm out of the house. And so that gives me the balance that I need. If I do that a day, a month, even one day a month, that can start to change things for me. So that is my advice to you. And I don't know if it's going to help you. I definitely think that you do need to listen to those obsession episodes. I do actually have one more thing for you, one more question. My question is, let's just say that you met this ex-boyfriend and he was not attractive at all. Not attractive in the least. I don't want to be judgmental here. But let's just say in your mind, you're thinking, oh, he's not the way I remember him. Would you still feel the same? So everything else is the same, but he's unpleasant to look at. Would you still feel the same? Because this will help you understand if the attraction is more than just the lifestyle. I'm not saying that it's based solely on physical attraction. I'm sure it completes the package, if that's the case. But let's just say that he wasn't as good looking as you remember him. You weren't attracted to him physically at all. Would you still want to connect, reconnect, live this lifestyle with him or whatever? What's your answer there? I mean, you won't be able to tell me now, but just think about this. Or if your answer is, oh, that would be important. That would be important. Because if it is important, then there might be something to look at there. If it is about attraction, if it is about his physical appearance and his lifestyle, it's helpful for you to know what you would do, whether you are attracted to him or not. The reason I ask about attraction is because, and this is going to make some people uncomfortable, but when you are in a romantic relationship, you will be attracted, most people will be attracted to other people. It is common. It is normal. It is okay, as long as you don't act on that. And I'm not necessarily talking to you, but I'm talking in general to everyone. I find it completely normal to be attracted to other people. If you didn't have the ability to be attracted to other people, you wouldn't be in a romantic relationship, is my guess. Most people wouldn't. I'm not attracted to anyone, so why be in a romantic relationship with them? This is why it's built in. It's hardwired. We are hardwired to be attracted to other people. And that's just normal. So I don't say that to make you uncomfortable if you're listening now and you're thinking, I better not catch my partner being attracted to anyone else. It's not about them making it appear that they're attracted to someone else. I'm just saying it's a normal thing. And because we are hardwired to be attracted to our species, to members of our species, that is going to happen in relationships. And you shouldn't have to feel guilty about it. You shouldn't have to make it wrong in your mind. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say having fantasies about them isn't necessarily a bad thing, but a lot of people disagree with that. I understand. It is hard for some people to accept that, and totally okay. You know, if that's your belief, that's perfectly fine. I'm okay with it. I'm just saying that I know that my girlfriend has been activated in a way by certain people that she's been attracted to, just like I have been, quote, activated in a certain way. And all I mean by that is you see an attractive person and you feel certain feelings that make you want to be more romantic with someone. Maybe you want to be romantic with that person you saw, but you can't because you're in a committed relationship and you love the person you're with, and you bring these feelings that you have into your romantic relationship, and it actually strengthens it. It can happen. Being attracted to someone else can strengthen your own relationship. Very controversial, I know. I'm not saying everyone's going to agree with this. Please don't send me emails saying you're wrong, because I'm giving you the option to believe this or go with this thought or have this philosophy or not. This is your choice. I have chosen to be okay when my girlfriend is attracted to someone else. When she says, oh, he's hot, I think, wow, that's good news for me. I'll stop there because that could get into some weeds I don't want to get into. So I'm going to leave this right here and allow you to do whatever you want with it. And I want you to be okay having the thoughts that you have, but you do have to explore them. You don't want these to turn into so obsessed that you can't ever stop thinking about this person and you can't even think about your husband and your family anymore. You can't let it get that far, obviously. And of course, kudos to you for breaking off contact, because you know it was probably unhealthy for your current relationship and your current life. I've done the same thing. When I was married, I had an attraction to someone that I had to break off all contact. I've said it on this show before. I told myself that I will not talk to this person anymore because it is a very bad idea. It's a very bad idea to have this other person in my life when I have this marriage. So I'm going to put all my focus back on my marriage and get rid of this other person in a kind way, just not talk to her anymore and not have anything to do with her, because clearly I'm being activated and the person is in too close of a proximity to me and I can't be in that space anymore. So I'm grateful that I was able to do that, and I'm glad that you're able to see that too, because that's really what it comes down to, in my opinion. You can have attractions. You can look at different people's lifestyles and think, I want that too. And you can have all these temptations because this is what happens when you're with someone a long time, that other things, they can look more attractive, more appealing. But then you look at what you have and you think, this is something I want to focus on. And so you look at these other things that might have been appealing, which is, in my opinion, again, perfectly normal. And you say to yourself, I'm not going to bring those things into my life. But, and this was my main point, what I'm going to do for myself is reconnect with the part of me that felt as free, as fun, as connected as I did in the past. The person I was had all that fun and felt more free. I want to connect to that again. Which is funny because that's exactly what my girlfriend's going through now. She is reconnecting with past parts of herself that makes her feel more alive, more free, more energized, and she doesn't have to go into the past and think, oh, that's who I want to be, because she's experiencing it today. Just in small ways, like I said, very small ways, and the little things add up to a lot. I wish you the best with this. Good luck, and I hope to hear from you someday, and maybe you can tell me everything that happened, all the details. I'm just kidding. Share what you want. Thanks so much for writing, and thanks for tuning into another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I did say I was going to read you another email, and I'll do that during the outro coming up right after this. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our sponsor today, Athletic Greens. Go to athleticgreens.com/brain and you'll get a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. I love it. I know you're going to love it too. I also want to thank our patrons of the week. These are the financial backers of the show. I read different names every week, like Angel, Crystal, Nathan, Jessica, Jamie, John, Chris, Jillian, Angela, Michelle, all of you wonderful people. And of course, there's somebody that I never mention, and I only mention once a year. His name is Zach. And I feel really bad because I thank people all the time, every week, and Zach never gets mentioned. So, Zach, I am giving you a little extra attention today because he is a yearly donor, and I never see his name pop up until the donation comes in. So, Zach, you are a special person. I appreciate you, and I am grateful for your support. And everyone on this list, of course, everyone in the patron program, anyone that donates money or sends me a thank you, whoever you are, I am so grateful for you. Thank you again. And if you find value in this show and you would like to give back, head over to moretob.com and you have options there. And if you become a monthly subscriber, you can join the patron program, which will give you all kinds of goodies over there as well. moretob.com. Thank you, patrons. I appreciate you. And I'm going to read something from Keisha. She said, thank you for helping me understand me. I hope I pronounced your name right. Thank you for telling me that. I am so grateful for you writing that. It was a very short email, one sentence, and that's all they said. Thank you for helping me understand me. I don't know you necessarily, but if you understand you better now, then I must have done something right. I don't know what it was, but I am grateful that you shared this with me, and I am so happy that you are understanding yourself better. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate you. And for a show on how to deal with difficult relationships, talking about which, visit loveandabuse.com. And if you know that you're the difficult one in the relationship, I have a program called Healed Being. You can check out over at healedbeing.com. First 4 lessons are free. Check it out. Maybe it's something that you can relate to. And if you can't, you don't have to do anything. It just stops coming into your mailbox. So go to healedbeing.com and you'll find out what I'm doing over there. And I want to thank Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And like I said, I'm going to read you this other message. The person wrote, hey, I would like your advice. You have helped me a lot, but I'm going through something. And I'm going to leave out some details that she wrote to protect her privacy. She said she has a baby and her relationship has been really hard. She was raped when she was younger, and since then I have hated any kind of physical touch. And she said that's where the problem is. My boyfriend's physical language is touch, and he's always wanting to have sex, but I don't. I forced myself to have sex with him, and I have told him how I feel about it and how it makes me uncomfortable. But still, I feel pressured by him to do it. He always wants me to do it, and he always wants me to have sex, and he gets mad at me when I refuse. He makes me feel guilty, and I feel like I'm not meeting his needs. What do I do? Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sorry for what you had to go through and what you are currently going through. And this could definitely take up a whole episode. What you have brought up here could take up a lot. But I want to give you the most succinct, the most hopefully effective insights and opinions I can give you so that you can get out of this space that you're in. First of all, anyone that makes you feel guilty is emotionally abusing you. I'm going to repeat this. If they are making you feel guilty, especially for something you're not doing wrong, that's emotionally abusive. So you are currently being emotionally abused. Are there exceptions? Maybe. But from the context of your message, you're being emotionally abused. Secondly, you're being sexually abused. I hate to be so blunt, but I need you to make sure this drills right into your brain so that it is very clear what's going on. You're being sexually abused. And, you know, you said you were raped when you were younger, and I'm not going to tell people what the age was, but it was very young. And if you are raped when you're younger, and again, this is a whole show, I'm not going to get into too many details, but it changes your perception on sex and physical touch. And this is what she's going through. And I'm so sorry that that happened to you. So I hope what I'm saying and what I'm about to say, you take with the utmost love and respect for you and what I know you deserve. You do not deserve to be emotionally abused. You do not deserve to be sexually abused. And sexual abuse isn't really the right term, because what I want to tell you right now is you're being pressured into sex, which is an abusive act. It's called sexual coercion. You are being pressured into sex, which is wrong. It is not normal. It is not healthy. And in fact, you're at an age where you need to start standing up for yourself. And I know I'm sounding like your parent here, but I want you to hear this again from a place of love and respect for you as a person that deserves to be treated with respect and deserves to have her boundaries respected. Pressuring you into sex is a manipulation. It's a coercion. So what they're doing is they're using guilt, typically, to make you feel like you have to do it because you're in a relationship with them. And that is all emotional abuse and what I would call sexual abuse. When someone coerces you into a sexual act and makes you feel guilty about that, they are abusing you sexually. And I'm not saying that from a legal standpoint. I'm not saying that you can have him arrested or anything like that. I don't know. You might be able to. You have to talk to other people for that. All I'm saying is that I think it's important that you are around people that honor your boundaries and honor your no. N-O. They need to honor your no. And if you're not saying it, you need to learn to say it. And it's so easy for me to say that. I understand. It's so easy for me to say, just honor your boundaries and you'll be okay, because you probably don't have the tools. You don't have the resources to do that. And I hope you listen to more episodes of my show, because I talk about boundaries left and right. Look up boundaries at my website, theoverwhelmedbrain.com, and you're going to see all kinds of episodes and articles that I've written on that. But this is the time. This is the time when you start establishing your boundaries and letting people know what's acceptable and what's not. Any type of coercion where they make you feel bad to do something that makes you uncomfortable is abusive. So that's how I feel. I'm very adamant about this, and I'm not putting it on you. I'm putting it on the people that do this to people like you. because you have been through enough and I don't want you to go through any more. No one should take advantage of you like that because that's what's happening. So this is something that you have to be careful about. If this person is aggressive or violent and you say no, then that's a different issue. You may have to get somebody to help you or protect you, or this is a very deep issue that may need to be addressed with a professional or an authority of some sort. But you should be with people that respect your boundaries and respect that you don't feel good about something. So if my girlfriend ever said, I don't feel comfortable about doing that, and I said, oh, come on, we're in a relationship and we should be doing this. If she ever said that and I said, oh, come on, she's going to feel pretty bad because I told her that, you know, we're in a relationship and this is how it should be. And that tells her that I don't care enough about the way she feels in order to honor her wishes. Because that's what you're telling me. He doesn't care enough about the way you feel in order to honor what you want. Maybe he's young. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe he doesn't have the tools. I don't want to give him too much leniency here or any. But what he's doing, the behavior he's doing right now, is dangerous. It's very dangerous to you. And it's also dangerous to him, because if he thinks he can get away with it every time, it could get worse, and it might. It might get worse, and I don't want it to get worse for you. I don't want it to get worse for anyone that he ever dates. There's a situation that needs to be resolved here as soon as possible. And so this isn't something I normally address on my show, and it's a very risky area for me to address it because there are things involved that could put you in danger, and I don't want you to be in danger. This is why I think you might need to talk to someone, professional, authority, someone, so that you can get the facts. Like, look up sexual coercion online and you're going to get all kinds of good information so that you don't get in this situation, because you don't deserve to be treated that way. Right now you're in a situation where you are being taken advantage of, and you don't want this to continue, and you don't want anybody else to do that to you ever again. This is the time to take a stand for who you are in yourself and protect you, because a good, healthy person is going to say, oh, if you're uncomfortable with that, we don't have to do anything. How does that feel when I say that? If somebody said that to you, if you're uncomfortable with that, we don't have to do that. How does that feel? When I hear that, I feel great. Like, wow, this person respects me. They honor me. They want me to be happy. And because they said that, it actually makes me feel closer. Makes me feel closer and bonded to them. But if they said, oh, come on, we're dating. You know, this is what we're supposed to do. How come you're not going to do it? You know, I have feelings too. How come you can't just take one for the team? You know, I'm your boyfriend now. We should be able to do it anytime. That's not right. That's unhealthy. It's very toxic. And if you don't stop that, it will continue. And I definitely want you to listen to the episodes in Love and Abuse. Go to loveandabuse.com, look up the word guilt, and I want you to not feel guilty for honoring yourself and feeling like you're being pressured into sex. That shouldn't create guilt in you. It should create guilt in him. But what he's doing is making you feel guilty so that he can get what he wants, regardless of how you feel. And quite frankly, that should make you angry. Makes me angry. It makes me angry. I hope you're able to honor yourself. And if he doesn't listen to you, maybe he's not the right guy for you. I mean, right now, what you just told me, he's not the right guy for you. The way he is now, what he's doing to you, not good, not cool. So again, look it up online, talk to somebody about this, and don't get into a situation that I believe, unfortunately, will absolutely get worse. So I don't want you to be in that situation. I want you to be with someone who can say things like, I just want you to be happy. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. If you feel uncomfortable, then it's not good for me. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable, because if you're uncomfortable, I feel bad. It's called empathy. It's called sympathizing, at least, and wanting the person they love to feel happy, not scared, not guilty. He should want you to feel good. And if you don't feel good while he feels good, that's a one-sided relationship. So this is the time to take care of yourself and make sure other people know what's acceptable and what's not. Honor those boundaries. And again, if there's a chance that he might be dangerous or scary, you know, you have to get somebody else involved to help you through this. Because I don't want you in a situation where suddenly it gets really bad, and then what do? Please take care of yourself. Life does not have to be about you feeling guilty for other people, especially because you're doing nothing wrong. Send me an update sometime. And I can tell that you're already in a space where you know something needs to change. You know it. You know something needs to change. So let me end this on a positive note. Just keep an open mind. I want you to keep an open mind because this is what helps you step into your power. When you step into your power, you get to create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are more powerful than you realize. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, I want you to really soak it in. You are amazing.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.